May that inexhaustible supreme personality of Godhead become our spiritual master, for he is the original spiritual master of all other spiritual masters. Srila Prabhupada's purport. In human life, one is meant to undergo austerity to purify one's existence. Tapo divyam putraka yena sattvam shudyet. Because of contamination by the modes of material nature, one continues in the cycle of birth and death. Karanam gunasangosya sadasadhyoni janmasu. Therefore, the purpose of human life is to purify oneself of this contamination, so that one can regain his spiritual form and not undergo this cycle of birth and death. The recommended process of decontamination is devotional service to the Lord. There are various processes for self-realization, such as karma, jnana, and yoga, but none of them is equal to the process of devotional service. As gold and silver can be freed from all dirty contamination by being put into a fire, but not merely by being washed, the living entity can be awakened to his own identity by performing devotional service, yat sevaya, but not by karma, jnana, or yoga. Cultivation of speculative knowledge or practice of yogic gymnastics will not be helpful. The word varnam refers to the luster of one's original identity. The original luster of gold or silver is brilliant. Similarly, the original luster of the living being who is part of the Satchidananda Vigraha is the luster of ananda or pleasure. Anandamayo vyasat. Every living entity has the right to become anandamaya, joyful, because he is part of the Satchidananda Vigraha, Krishna. Why should the living being be put into tribulation because of dirty contamination by the material modes of nature? The living entity should become purified and regain his swarup, his original identity. This he can do only by devotional service. Therefore, one should adopt the instructions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is described here as Guror Guruhu, the spiritual master of all other spiritual masters. Even though we may not have the fortune to contact the Supreme Lord personally, the Lord's representative is as good as the Lord himself, because such a representative does not say anything unless it is spoken by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore gives a definition of Guru. Yare deka tare kaha Krishna upadesh. The bona fide Guru is he who advises his disciples exactly in accordance with the principles spoken by Krishna. The bona fide Guru is he who has accepted Krishna as Guru. This is the Guru Parampara system. The original Guru is Vyasadeva because he is the speaker of the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, wherein everything spoken relates to Krishna. Therefore, Guru Puja is known as Vyasa Puja. In the final analysis, the original Guru is Krishna. His disciple is Narada, whose disciple is Vyasa, and in this way we gradually come in touch with the Guru Parampara. One cannot become a Guru if he does not know what the personality of Godhead, Krishna, or his incarnation wants. The mission of the Guru is the mission of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. Om Jnanat Badandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshu Unminatam Mena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance. My spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my humble obeisances unto him and all members of Sri Parampara. Sri Parampara. So, such a wonderful purport and verse about the process of devotional service as the process of decontamination and the necessity of surrendering to the Guru. And here, of course, for Satyavrata Muni, the Guru is the Lord himself in the form of Matsya Avatar. So the first thing that's mentioned here is that Seva Yagnya, that the service to the Supreme Lord acts as a fire. We've often heard this analogy, how the dull iron rod is just impotent. It doesn't do anything. It's cold. But when placed in the fire, gradually becomes hotter and hotter until it can also act like fire. So it's non-different from fire. So taking up Krishna consciousness really means coming in contact with Krishna, with the fire of Krishna, through the process of bhakti, the process of devotional service. By that contact, we become fired up. We become purified. And the analogy given here is how gold or silver can become purified by the process of heating, not just by the process of washing. So that means that the impurities can be very, very impacted within the gold nugget or the silver nugget. I don't know if there are silver nuggets, I guess they are. And it's not so easy to get it out. There needs to be a process of heating and smelting in the proper way to really come out with that pure silver and that pure gold. So in the same way, as Lord Rishabhadev has made very clear and is also made clear here in the verse and purport, that we need to undergo some austerity, tapa. This human life is meant for that. The famous verse of Lord Rishabhadev, nayam deho deha bhajang loke kashtan kaman adate vidbujange, that this human life is not meant for simply acting for sense gratification on the level of the hogs, the stool-eating hogs. This human life is special because we have the superior intelligence by which we can endeavor to understand the absolute truth and take on a process, as mentioned in this verse, divine penance, tapo divyam, putrakayena sattvam shudye yasma brahmasaukyam tonantam. That process of purification is mentioned here in the purport. Prabhupada quotes this line from the verse. So the idea is that the more that we get into, that there is the mood of immediate gratification, the more we're in the mode of ignorance. And we actually lose the benefit of being a human being. And ultimately, if that's our the mood of our life, that is the mode of our life, then we'll lose the human form entirely. Human life is meant for inquiring into the absolute truth. Human life is meant for accepting the instructions of Krishna, either directly or through the parampara, so that we can become purified of this tendency for immediate gratification, which is the mode of the animals, and it's what vikarma result, which is the result of that is vikarma, as Rishabhadev says a little later. So what happens when we undergo this penance or this austerity? Tapo divyam, O my sons, Rishabhadev is speaking to his sons and other great souls, one becomes purified. The sattvam, in this case, sattvam means existence, becomes purified. And purified of what? Purified of this contamination which takes the form of all of these anartas in the heart. The impacted desires for devotional, for sense gratification, for the anger, the resentments, the karmic reactions and the tendencies to act in the material way, all of these things which keep us bound to this world, summarized as knots in the heart. As yesterday we were hearing about the Riddhya Granthi, or in the 16th chapter, the Asha Pasha, the ropes of material desire, that thousands of them that keep us bound here. All of those are impurities. All of those are impurities in the heart. It's kind of like a disease. In the last verse of the Rasa Panchajaya, it's described as kamam ridrogam. It's a disease of the heart. It's not natural. And that disease, just like if we're ill, we want to become purified. It's a process of purification, getting rid of the contamination or the bacteria, whatever it is that's infecting us, so we can come to our natural state. So the natural state of the living entity is Swarup, is to be an eternal servant of Krishna. Jivera Swarupoi Krishnera Nityadas. These are the teachings of the original Guru, Krishna, in the form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to Sanatana Goswami, taking the role of disciple there. And so it's important to realize that all of our state of anxiety or depression or anything less than ananda is unnatural. This is a disease condition of the heart. Krishna consciousness means to really uncover that which is already there. Nitya siddha Krishna prema sadhya kabonoi shubhanadi shuddha chitte kareyehidoi. Here is that again, that idea of purification, shuddha chitte. Lord Chaitanya says, nitya siddha Krishna prema. The eternal perfection of Krishna prema is not something that has to be brought from outside. It's eternally there with the living entity. And shavanari shuddha chitte, by the process of devotional service, beginning with hearing and chanting, the heart becomes purified, the existence becomes purified, and that love, that prema, naturally awakens. So this is very encouraging, because it means that all of us are completely eligible. As Prabhupada says here, that every living being, the original luster of every living being is to possess this ananda. And that is really what we see, you know, these amazing DVDs that Yadubar produced. And I remember this one where this devotee was saying, this lady was saying, she saw Prabhupada come in, and he was glowing. He was glowing. And it wasn't just she that saw, everyone saw. Prabhupada was golden and glowing, you know. So what is that goal? What is that glow? What is that effulgence for the great souls? This is this constant state of ananda and bliss in touch with Krishna. It's the original effulgence of the living entity. As it is said, we're more brilliant than a million suns, right? Brighter than, but where is that luster gone? Well, it's been covered over. It's been covered over by the contamination of the material modes of nature, the material body, material consciousness, and we've lost touch. Just like the spark leaves the fire. In the fire, it's glowing just like the fire itself. But if it gets shot out like an ember, it can die on the floor and gradually becomes gray. So we're in that state. And by the process of contacting the original guru directly or through the medium of the spiritual master or the medium of the shastra, and following those instructions, undergoing the austerities necessary for purification, we regain that natural luster. So I'd like to go through this purport a little bit and explore some of the ideas that Prabhupada talks about. First, he mentions what we talked about, that we're meant to undergo this austerity for purification. And every living entity is in this world, and according to how we associate with the modes, that makes our destiny. Purushak prakati stohi, bhunkte prakati jangunan, karanangana sangosya sadasadyoni janmasu. Prabhupada quotes that line. So this is a famous verse, 13th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Every living being is situated within this material energy. Purushak prakati stohi. Bhunkte prakati janganam. And we enjoy, we relate to, experience the modes of nature. Prakati janganam, karanangana sangosya. And the cause of our getting a good or a bad birth, if you will, our destiny, is how we associate with those modes. So naturally, if we have no touch with Krishna consciousness, and we're simply under the influence of our materialistic parents and teachers and everyone else we associate with, then we have no clue about controlling how we associate with the modes. We're simply battered about by the modes of nature, and we have our certain propensities. And in this age, especially, the modes of ignorance and passion are very prominent. And so the general tendency is to degrade to the mode of immediate sense gratification or a little bit expanded sense gratification. And it's a tragic situation that most people in this age are probably going to lose the human form of life because they're not acting according to the Vedas, even for sense gratification, and then performing vikarma. But as devotees, coming in touch with this knowledge under the influence of great souls like Srila Prabhupada, we can decide which mode of nature we're going to cultivate. We can decide how we will associate or disassociate ourselves from certain modic influences, if you will. And in this way, make our life auspicious. So this is the idea. By performing austerity, it means that we are rejecting the strong association of the mode of passion and ignorance. And we're purifying ourselves and trying to come to the mode of goodness and pure goodness. So Prabhupada talks about how there's no other way, especially in this age, for purification, but bhakti. He compares the process of karma yoga and jnana yoga, dhyana yoga, to trying to wash off the gold that you get from mining. And how is that going to be purified? it's not sufficient. You may wash off the superficial dirt, but what about the here's a jeweler? There's so much contamination that's baked in there. So it really takes a very powerful process to burn out the impurities, and that process is Krishna Bhakti. So Prabhupada talks about the luster, the varna. Varna means color. It can mean many things. What it means color, or in this case, luster. And this luster, as mentioned here, is our original Krishna consciousness. And Prabhupada would sometimes say how he would point to his devotees and disciples and say, before they came to me, you know, many of them were hippies, you know, and they were unhappy, they were unsatisfied. But now, even after 1 year or less of Krishna consciousness, they are just like the dancing peacocks, you know, from Vaikuntha or something like that. And they their natural, beautiful features have come out. You know, Prabhupada would use that. So we all have that natural beauty. It's because it's a reflection of Krishna's beauty. It's nothing but, you know, Krishna and his expansion. We are expansions. But it can be covered because we're minute, we're infinitesimal. And that original sense of Krishna consciousness, that original natural joyfulness and enthusiasm in service to Krishna has been dissipated through the material world, through the material modes of nature. So by the proper process, it's just like smelting the gold, we can begin to glow again with that natural happiness and joy and ananda by that heating process of devotional service. Let's see. So then the question is, well, how do we contact this process? So we have examples of great devotees such as Satyavrata Muni having the direct darshan of the Lord and being instructed directly by the Lord. We certainly have that in the case of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his teaching Sanatana Goswami, Rupa Goswami. There's Krishna in the form of Lord Chaitanya teaching directly. What to speak of Krishna on the battlefield with Arjuna. So sometimes you may think, oh, I don't have that opportunity, you know. Oh, if only I had been born, you know, during Lord Chaitanya's time, we would have been so fortunate. Even we find that, I think Krishna's Kaviraj in one place. He's, you know, he didn't have direct darshan of Lord Chaitanya. But the point is that because the Lord and his teachings, everything is absolute, when his teachings come through a transparent via medium, as Prabhupada would say, a transparent medium, such as the pure devotee or the pure books, revealed scripture that is not contaminated with speculation, then it is just as good as associated with Krishna. This is the whole thing when we sing in the morning, Sakshat Bhidit Vena Samastha Shastra, Uktastata Bhavyate Vasadbi, that the guru is on the equal level with Krishna. Sakshat Hari Twena. He has the quality of Hari. It's not that he is equal to Hari in all respects, but he can act on the same level and should be worshipped on the same level. That's what Twa means. He has the quality of the Lord. And this is declared in all the Shastra and by all the great saints, the Sadbis. Therefore, if we approach in the proper way the Guru, and we will receive the knowledge just as if we were there personally with Krishna on the battlefield or with Lord Chaitanya when he touched Sanatana. It is equivalent. And how did Lord Chaitanya explain what is the quality of a Guru? So he quotes this verse, Yare Deka Tahe Kaha Krishna Upadesh. And the key element, this is the element of transparency, that he's simply giving Krishna's instruction. Prabhupada would like to point out the contrast between himself and some of the bogus gurus. Bogus gurus, generally, they really, really emphasize guru bhakti, right? Guru bhakti. Worship me. Maybe you worship me. And Prabhupada says, the real guru doesn't say worship me. He says worship Krishna. He says, you know, manmana bhavaman bhakto madhyaji mama. And that man is Krishna. Ma means Krishna, the famous statement by Prabhupada. Me means Krishna. So that's the contrast. The great devotees, they'll write these books, like I was quoting from the Hari Bhakti Kalpilatika. It's this fantastic book going through the 9 processes of devotional service, exquisite Sanskrit verses, poetry. So enthralling. Bhaktivinoda Thakur discovered it somewhere. He published it. No author. No one knows. They didn't bother to sign it. You know, where do you find that today? You know, the whole materialistic endeavor of producing literature is that the author is out front. Sometimes when he comes famous, that's what you see on the cover of the book. The title is very small. You know, Grisham or whoever the guys are now. You know, because it's just a scam. You know, to try to make as much money as possible through fame and propagation of this. So, but the great devotees, they always put themselves in the background, and they regard themselves as simply media. You know, the famous story where Baladev Vidyabhushan, he was enjoined, you know, by Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, his spiritual master, to go and write a commentary for Vedanta Sutra. So was it to Jaipur anyway? Jaipur, and. So there was some conflict there because the Gaudiya Vaishnavas didn't have their own own commentary in Vedanta Sutra. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu regarded the Srimad Bhagavatam as the real commentary. And there's so much evidence that that's true. But still, it was causing some problems. So he went there. But he didn't go and just start writing. He prayed for the inspiration from Govinda. And Radha Govinda were there. And was it after 3 days also that, you know, praying, and he felt inspired, and he felt that Govinda was actually writing it. So he calls it Govinda Bhasha. You know, this is a perfect example. Prabhupada felt the same way about his own books. He loved to read his own books, and then he would tell Shruti Kirti sometime, and really, I don't feel like I've written these books. I think Krishna wrote these books, you know? And he's just reading Krishna's words. So this is the sign of purity. You don't feel that on your own you have this separate power to do anything. You feel simply that by the grace of the Lord, He's doing everything through you, and by that for that reason, you can perform miracles, like Prabhupada. Because what is impossible for Krishna? This whole movement is a miracle. You know, this morning during the kirtan, I have a good time at kirtan. And I was you know, watching the deity and looking at everyone chanting and everyone's getting enlivened and saying, how is this going on? Here you are sitting in the middle of a, you know, northern Florida, you know, which, you know, 30, 40, 50, 100 years ago was just a big farm, you know. Okay, great, you know. But now there's this little Vaikuntha bubble, you know, where people are chanting Hare Krishna, they're in touch with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Srila Prabhupada is watching. It's all by Krishna's energy having worked purely through the pure devotee in creating, you know, this faith in the hearts of so many devotees to make the great effort to make this happen, you know. But still, it's Krishna working through his pure devotee and inspiring faith and activity and devotion in so many others. So it's actually a wonderful experience when you think about this whole movement, how it goes on day after day. It, in itself, just the existence of the International Society of Krishna Consciousness is a faith-building fact. It should give you faith in Krishna. I know Srila Prabhupada, sometimes he seemed to be almost astounded by how the movement just exploded. You know, he started from nothing, you know, practically nothing, except, you know, the great faith in the holy name and the order of his spiritual master, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And on that basis, everything just grew in a short period of 10, 11 years. And so, you know, as the movement went on, he just saw how, you know, Krishna was doing this, Lord Chaitanya was doing this, creating all this faith and this devotion in so many people and spreading the holy name, the books coming out miraculously the way they did. So all of that is exactly pertinent to this verse, how, you know, seeing, you know, Krishna, the Guru is one. In one sense, Guru is one. If you read Prabhupada's wonderful address in 1936, I think it was, in Bombay, which we often we've published several times in his Vyasa Puja book, he talks about that, how the principle of Guru is one, but he appears in many forms. And, you know, we have to recognize what is the real nature of the Guru. You know, Prabhupada gives a little summary. He's simply giving Krishna's instructions. Not only giving them, but living according to them also. This principle of Acharya. He knows the Shastra, backwards and forwards, very learned, acts according to the injunctions and teaches them. So that's the nature of a guru, and that's a transparent medium for Krishna. And by coming in contact and receiving the words, the instructions in the proper way, you know, this is also a critical factor. In the early part of the Bhagavatam, actually, the second verse it's used, this word, shushushro, shradhana sabhasa devakataruchi, that comes up in the second chapter. But even the second verse it's there. Sadjo rinjavadujate chukatabhi shushushubhi tatshanat. That Krishna himself, just by hearing Bhagavatam, from the proper source, but with the proper attitude, which means submissive oral reception, which means taking the knowledge without any objection, without any static, and be willing to follow the instructions. That's submissive oral reception. The Lord will be manifest in the heart very quickly, you know, just from hearing Bhagavatam. So that coming in contact and developing that proper receptivity to the message produces wonders. Then the instructions can work, and one regains the faith. The seed is planted, the seed of bhakti is planted in the heart, and then we have this daily responsibility to water it nicely through hearing and chanting and following and serving, so that the creeper shall grow, and ultimately, it's a different analogy, very beautiful, ultimately, you know, all of the weeds of desire and enarches will die off, you know, if we avoid the offenses, and ultimately we produce this wonderful fruit of prema bhakti, which we can enjoy eternally with in the spiritual world with Krishna. And so there's a prayer like that, where the Rupa Goswami prays, purushottamasya padito gokula chaditamate nikutaseka prema madandasyandam tanotamam chittamakanda. This is a prayer to Purushottamasya. He says, may the Gokula pastimes, the nectar of the Gokula pastimes of Krishna, constantly water the mango tree of my mind, so that it will blossom nicely, and from the mangoes there will drip this makaranda, this pure nectar of pure love of God that he wants to eat and drink. So that's a nice prayer in that regard. But oftentimes we see we have a great destination. We need to be enlivened by that. That all of these, you know, this veil of tears known as the material world, this is not our natural place. We get glimpses of it when we forget ourselves and become absorbed in Krishna consciousness, in kirtan, in service, in serving the deity, meditating, dressing, installing, all of these things. You get absorbed, you forget yourself, and this is the mood in the spiritual world. Is that all the devotees are forgetting themselves and they're thinking of Krishna, and everything is an eternal kirtan in all different varieties there of rasas. So that's our natural state. That's real mukti. The word sarup is used here. Mukti hit vanyata rupam sarupaini bhavastiti. Real mukti is giving up all of these false forms that we've been cultivating for millions of births. None of us here are sitting in our actual spiritual form, at least externally. Maybe internally some of you realize it. But but these are just, you know, these are coats. These are old coats that are eventually going to go. And that mukti is developed by this process of burning, by this agni, which is likened to the service. It's a process of purification. And then we can really understand, gradually understand what our real form is. Our basic form is Krishna Das. That's there for Swarup, there is what Chaitanya says. But what is the precise form? What are the details? What are the activities? What do you look like? You know, what is your dress? What is your function in Krishna's Leela? That we discover gradually the more we become purified by this process. And always remaining. And we also understand more about who the Guru is and what his role in Krishna's internal Leela. It's all a question of revelation through purification. So I'll end there. If there are any questions or comments, we can entertain them now. Do we have the microphone at the ready? Lakshmi, Srinagar Prabhu was first. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
You used the word miracle in relationship to this kind. I think that's a very good word, because I was just thinking that that sparked a whole chain reaction of thought on my part. I was thinking how, and you were giving the qualities, the criteria of what is guru, who is guru. And one of the things I was thinking about the miracle of guru, particularly someone like Srila Prabhupada, is the fact that they not their reference point is Shastra, always. But their Prabhupada had the uncanny, amazing ability to be relevant. And when I've been studying Chaitanya Shikshamrita, and I found like it's the same thing, you know, with in that particular book, that everything that Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, which is extremely relevant to our position, because there's many layers of hearing that exist when we're particularly conditioned, and we make the turn where we're looking for some kind of to make sense of this world. There's a certain kind of hearing that is there, and someone like Srila Prabhupada was able to recognize that and be relevant, but always, and the miracle of Srila Prabhupada is the fact that he, well, in the true definition of guru, was totally shastric, but also totally irrelevant. And that's something I think, if we are to present Krishna consciousness on behalf of Srila Prabhupada and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission, that that relevance has to be there. So how is it, how do we become, or how do we stay focused and become relevant?
Okay, there's a question there. I was just going to say thank you for your comment. Well, you know, of course, Prabhupada is always the acharya. He's the model for how to do that. You know, having spent some time with BTG, I must say, you know, Mukhya Madhiji kind of overdid it Sunday night, saying I was an editor of BTG. It's true, 27 years ago, I was an editor of BTG. But I always, you know, being part of BTG, I like to go back, and I remember Prabhupada's first BTG, you know, in 1944. It was quite a volume. It's like many pages, actually. And he published a few, and then I think he suspended it. You know how BTG went. He didn't. But there are all kinds of articles. You know, it's the middle of the war, the middle of World War II. And Prabhupada wasn't ignoring that. You know, and he was talking about, you know, where real peace can come from, and how we can attain peace and things like that. So, you know, he was relevant there in the context of the society as a whole. But as you say, anything you read, you know, in the Bhagavatam or the Bhagavad Gita, you're reading it from a personal point of view. Everything is personal. So each of us is reading and taking a lesson, you know, for ourselves. So many devotees say, you know, I was thinking this, I was feeling troubled, and I opened Prabhupada's book. It's amazing. It was exactly what I needed to hear, you know, because it goes so deep. And the idea of it being ever fresh, because why is it ever fresh? Because, you know, these instructions, these pastimes, they all contain this instruction that deals with the soul. The soul is never gets old, you know, and we can see with fresh eyes or fresh mind the more that we advance. Just like what comes to mind, I don't know why, but it's pertinent, but let me make the connection. Why did Krishna come as Lord Chaitanya? Because he wanted to see himself from her point of view. He wanted to experience himself through the lens of her love, if you will. You know, this is, of course, the supreme example of this. But the idea is that we've all experienced, I mean, I've experienced, if you're in good consciousness, you chanted some good rounds, you did some service, you feel that, okay, you know, did something in Krishna consciousness, then when you see the deity, you know, it's a different experience than if you, you know, been lackadaisical, you slacked off, isn't it? Well, the deity hasn't changed. Deity is there. But according to your consciousness, you get a different experience. Now, since the books are non-different from the deity, the same thing is there for everything you read that of Srila Prabhupada's books. They're on the absolute plane. And as you advance in Krishna consciousness, become a little more purified, then it goes deeper and deeper. And the relevance is always there because we as souls are always there. And we're always struggling, as long as we're pure devotees, with the process of devotional service. So this is why, you know, these books are like alive, practically. They're alive, you know, because they're completely spiritual, and spirit is alive. So, you know, we've heard so many stories how, you know, some book will sit on a shelf for 20, 30 years, and because, you know, the person who got it, you know, wasn't relevant, they at least had enough, you know, devotion not to throw it away, you know, which is something. And their son or grandson or, you know, nephew once removed will pick that up and boom, they're in a different state. They're ready for it, you know. And it just means so much. It means the very life. And their, you know, devotion starts. So this is how these everything about Krishna consciousness is dynamic. The same thing is there for the holy name. I was just thinking, this thought came through my head this morning as I was chanting my rounds. I want to start and belong to the 32 syllable club, you know, because the Hare Krishna Mandir, you know, you're hearing Krishna, but you're not hearing Hare so much. And the Ramas, well, they're in the background. But you know, this that, like. But actually, to hear every syllable and, you know, be focused is to be absorbed in Krishna consciousness. Krishna is not different from his name. And if you have a little bit of that, you know, even just a few moments of that, you see it's a different experience than the usual kind of drone in the background to the mental, you know, movie that's going on, whatever it is. So, you know, that's the sadhana. That is sadhana, to focus the mind from wherever and wherever it wanders to bring it back under the control of the big S self, Krishna, in the form of the holy name. That's what we're trying to do, to be controlled by Krishna every moment of every day. So, I don't know if that answered your question, but that's the best I could do. Any other comments? Ganga Narayan Prabhu.
I just wanted to say that I'm very grateful that Srila Prabhupada introduced the Guru Puja, which in the Gaudiya Math, traditionally they only hold that on Vyasa Puj day. They worship the Guru, but the ISKCON program gradually evolved. At the beginning, it wasn't even Mangal Arati. Devotees just went out on Harinam all day, and they had some chanting in the temple room, and then they went out. And then there was the Mangal Arati. But in the Gaudiya Math, they do not hold the Guru Puja every day. And for fallen souls like myself, who, for one reason or another, which I won't stay in here, do not come to Mangal Arati, it's so wonderful to come to the Guru Puja. There's so much ecstasy in worshiping, you know, Srila Prabhupada and greeting the deities. And so I'd like to thank Srila Prabhupada for that.
I'll join you in those thanks. Why did that come? I think I was there just after it started. And if I recall, someone could correct me if I'm wrong, is that he saw, you know, we know there's a history of ISKCON, how it was in L.A. in that famous, was it 8 months he was there in Los Angeles, that gradually the devotees, they were becoming, you know, familiar breeds contempt, and there was some diminishment of the proper relationship with the Guru. And so he saw that, well, this is essential to reiterate every day these wonderful, you know, this song, which is so important, Guru Mukha Padma Vachita Tekariya Aikya, practically in that one line, if we could just realize that, that's it. You know, make the words coming from the lotus lips of your spiritual master one with your mind, and don't desire anything else. And the idea that attraction for the lotus feet of the Guru is the best way to make advancement. When Yadubha's DVDs were coming out, I wrote him a letter. I have three subscriptions, two gift subscriptions that I gave to someone and my own. And I said, this is such a wonderful service, because even for future, you know, the generations that are coming, and every morning, every Monday morning we play one of these in San Diego. And we don't have the lecture, we do that in a different way. But it's just so fascinating. And the for generations to come, what to speak of, you know, the direct disciples who really don't know all this stuff, and who knows all of it, you really get attraction for Prabhupada. You become attracted to Prabhupada. And that is the best way of advancement. You know, everything is dependent on, I don't want to make it trite, but love, but affection, but relationship. And to reiterate the relationship with Srila Prabhupada by this Guru Puja every day, because it specifically is Prabhupada's Guru Puja. You know, the Guru Vashtaka is also there, but it's a general for the Guru. But this is no doubt, this is Prabhupada's Guru Puja. And it does, for those who attend regularly, it really is foundational for devotional life. And Vidyananda Maharaj has said that way back when he was in the Guru Puja with Prabhupada, and Prabhupada brought him over, or he passed him when he was walking out, and he said, this is the most important thing. This is the most important function, is this Guru Puja. Yes, Prangavindavam.
The Prabhu was telling me that first this Guru Puja song,
uh-huh.
Prabhupada came from the morning walk,
uh-huh.
and then they already started singing Achyutananda Swami. This is how Balavanta Prabhu was telling us. And then Prabhupada just turned back and said, do they know what they're singing?
You mean they'd started the Guru Puja without Prabhupada sitting there?
The first day.
Oh, the first time, okay.
The first day. So Prabhupada, the whole time in the Beshasana, according to him, it was a grave. He was just a grave. He did not look or talk or just uh-huh. grave. He was just listening what they are singing. So that was the first day of Guru Puja in Ishkan, uh-huh. according to
Prabhupada,
after the Guru, after the morning walk. So I remember very interesting, because Lakshmi Nisinga Prabhu asked a very nice question. Because Prabhupada in the purport, what I heard from you, read that Vyasa Puja is a Guru Puja.
Right.
Or Guru Puja is a Vyasa Puja. Is
yes,
a,
yes.
Okay. So in Baladev Vidyabhusan Thakur's commentary also, and Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur's commentary, Vyasa means that line that pierces through the center of a circumambulation.
Ah.
Spiritual world and material world. There is a connection dot that Krishna, that what goes around. One who has a power to connect through Krishna, material world with the spiritual world with the material world, he is called Vyasa. He's a position. He's not just a permanent person.
Right.
It's a position, like Brahma's position. So Guru who connects Krishna with the soul, or revive their dormant love, as Prabhupada says, he is called Vyasadeva's Vyasasana sitting personality Guru. So then in Chaitanya Bhagavat, very nicely narrated, first Guru Puja Mahaprabhu started in Srivas Pandit's house.
Yes.
And you know the whole story of Nandana Acharyas, and then they came and then he said, can you do it? He said, if you want, I can do it. And then he found the paddhati or process of Vyasa Puja, and then he found the best day photo, and then he made the garland. The whole story is so nice. And then next day started, and then they made a beautiful garland, and Nityananda Prabhu was offered that, you please give this garland to Vyasadev, but everybody is waiting. Unless you put the garland on the murti, not photo, the puja doesn't go, start, Guru Puja. So he's just waiting, and then everybody, Srivas Pandit want to blow the conch shell. He said, can you do it? He said, means nobody knows. This is Nityananda Prabhu, Akhanda Guru Datta. All of a sudden, Mahaprabhu was in his house. He did not, whatever his plan was, didn't want to come. But then Nityananda Prabhu forced him to come by his meditation, because nothing is moving. Everybody stuck, thousands of devotees. Like. So then Mahaprabhu just appeared. Then he offered the garland to Mahaprabhu. And then he quoted this, Bande Krishna Jagat Groom, Krishna Bande Jagat Groom. You are the Guru of the Guru. So this verse Prabhupada gave us, such a nice verse.
That's right in the verse, Guru Guru Hu.
Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sudhakur, I'll make it very short. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur, 1924, on his 50th birthday, 74 he was born, so 50th birthday. Before that day, the Gauri of line, everybody do not have a Guru Vyasa Puja except Vyasa Purnima. Only on Vyasa Purnima, they would celebrate the Vyasa Puja. There is a 7 articles to be worshipped, the whole parampara, everything. But on that day, he gave a very first-class speech. It's in the Patrabuli. I was told somebody is translating this. And I have the Bengali copy. And it's very nice, summary substance of that. He says, so, just like you say, 500 years back, Mahaprabhu came. So some of you are thinking, I was not here. Where was I? Was I in the stupid or somewhere in the universe, somewhere in Mahaprabhu, I missed it. So everybody may think. So, did Mahaprabhu really come and delivered you directly? No. Did Jagannath Das Babaji, Baladev Vidyabhusan, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, he went one by one. Did they come to deliver you? So you should glorify the person who Mahaprabhu has sent him to deliver you. His day should be celebrated. So he started his own birthday, first Guru Puja.
Yes, very nice.
Yeah.
Thank you for that. Hare Krishna. And we'll end on that. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.